Evan and Tiki on the Fan. We'll get to Joe Shane and Saquon Barkley in 3 minutes, but we played a few minutes ago, and it's fake, an AI of Carlos Rodon after the game from this guy, Immortal, on social media. He did one of Aaron Boone, and I want to play it. Tell me if this sounds like Aaron Boone, and if Yankee fans would want to hear Aaron Boone say this. Now, again, this is not Aaron Boone. This is Bad Boone, okay? Bad Boone, courtesy of Immortal on Twitter.
Faced some tough teams early on in the season, and we're just going through a grind right now. You know, a lot of people all at once. You know, if Glaber could get it going, but he's been terrible. He's a free agent. He'll be gone. DJ LeMay, he was so washed. He should be next to the dryer. Carlos Rodon forgot how to pitch. I mean, I don't know what happened. It's just unbelievable. Volpe can't figure it out. Six home runs. Verdugo hit that home run in Fenway Park. Now he can't do anything. Stanton's hurt as usual. So, I mean, there's only so much I could do when Castro makes the lineup. But if we don't get to, if we don't win everything, I'm at peace with it. But trust me, we're going to win the World Series.
I think Yankee fans would love that if that was really Aaron Boone.
Keep it real. Yeah. That's the keep it real. That's not the bad Aaron Boone, because that's just keep it real.
That is keep it real Aaron Boone.
That's a keep it real Aaron Boone.
Yeah. I mean, the last part about them winning the World Series probably not happening.
Hey, show some confidence.
Yeah.
All right, seriously, like, why shy away from it?
Just go all in on this now.
You know, if Glaber could get it going, but he's been terrible.
He'll be gone at the end of the year. Yeah, that is fake. I just want to make that clear. That is Immortal on Twitter, who I'm now going to follow because, oh, he follows me already. Look at this. Me and Immortal are buddies.
Right.
I like this.
He's probably just following you because he's listening to you put him over.
Oh, is that what it is? What I'm requesting from this Immortal guy is I want more, okay? I want to hear Carlos Mendoza. I know he's probably a Yankee fan. I want to hear Pete Alonso talk about the contract. I want to hear everything. I want to hear AI of everybody. This is the world we can live in as long as we know it's just entertainment.
Yes.
Okay, that's very important. It's not really Aaron Boone. Now, what we're about to play for you is real. I cannot believe that this was allowed to air on television. Okay? The New York Giants are doing Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been amazing TV.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's been so informative about the process behind the scenes.
Yes.
Which some people are privy to, but most people are not.
No.
They have no idea what goes on in getting an organization ready for a regular season. By the way, training camps are starting soon.
Right?
Isn't there one this weekend?
I think for the teams that are playing in the Hall of Fame game, probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2 weeks away from the Jets and Giants, which is amazing. So on Hard Knocks, the off-season edition, they aired a conversation between Joe Shane and the agent of Saquon Barkley. Take a listen to this, and then we're going to hear Saquon talk to Shane, and we're going to analyze.
Yeah, I'm torn. I'm torn, Ed, because I still think he can play, and I think he can help us. But I didn't want to come in a number because I really don't have a great idea where the market is. That's why I'm going to let the league tell him what it is. And, hey, if you want to come back and be a Giant, let's try to find something that makes sense. Like, we're close. Then let's have a conversation because, again, I do think he was our best offensive player.
Yep. Okay. I appreciate it.
All right. Sir. I'll shoot you a text after I talk with him.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Joe. Thanks. So that part didn't shock me. It was very like, Okay, Joe Shane says to the agent of Saquon Barkley, we don't want to insult him. We're not even going to make an offer, not because we don't want him back, but because we just don't know what his market is. Go find out what his market is and then get back to me.
Well, the challenge for, I think, any GM as it pertains to the salary for running backs is what is the market?
Right.
Right? Is it $8 million or is it 19? That's what's been given out this year. 8 per year or 19 for Christian McCaffrey, even though that was an extension on the San Francisco deal. And so there is no best player at the position, the guideline for running backs. The franchise tag last year that Saquon was on was like $10.5 million.
Right,
but it's so skewed because there's a couple of like high earners that are at 15 to 16, and then everybody else is low, so it pulls down that average. So it's almost impossible to know what the market is for a running back right now.
So your agent, let's make believe you're Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
Except you're better looking and better. And you are in the Ring of Honor, unlike some people. You hear the conversation. Because I know with my agent, sometimes I'm like, man, I want to hear what was just said.
Yes.
What did the architect say to you? You heard that conversation. You are Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. You're cool with everything Joe Shane just said?
Well, I think Saquon wants to be valued or wanted. I mean, we act like this is happening in real time. This happened 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Right? But
more than
two
that.
And a half, 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I think Saquon wanted to be valued and respected. And Joe Shane gave the excuse that he just doesn't know the market. And it's a true excuse. Like, even as someone who follows this and gets it, I wouldn't know what to pay a running back like Saquon Barkley. The only indication you have is what Jonathan Taylor signed for,
right,
which was roughly $14 million a year. And so maybe you aim there and you go forward. But Saquon turned that down a year ago.
Right.
And so it's like, I think Joe was in a tough spot. Now, maybe in the back of his mind, he was ready to be done with the headache of it. But at the same time, he was your best player.
Right.
And that's what John Mara and Timmy McDonald, that's what they tried to convey.
Well, even Joe acknowledged
they were pushing back.
Yeah, and he even acknowledged it right there. He was our best offensive player. So Joe Shane says to Saquon's agent, I'm going to go call Saquon now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to explain to me how this was allowed by Saquon Barkley, because my assumption is for something to be on TV, for all of us to consume, Barkley on the other end of this phone conversation we're about to play has to give approval that this is okay.
Yes.
I would be stunned if you're telling me HBO and the Giants were like, yeah, we never even told them. And we're going to play this conversation that took place between Joe Shane and Saquon Barkley.
Yes.
Here's the conversation, and we got a lot to talk about after that.
Hello?
Saquon.
Yeah, what's up?
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm chilling. Just chilling with the fam.
You in Jersey right now?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey right now.
Yeah. How's the offseason been? You doing anything?
Yeah, I've been good. Traveled a little bit, but just starting to get back into the chronic offseason treatments.
Yeah. All right, so I just talked to Ed Barry, and I think just mulling over this, the right thing to do is let you test the market and see what your value is. I don't want to do the franchise thing or all that stuff again. I don't want to go through that. We've both been through that. You know, if you really want to be a Giant for life and you're interested in staying here and coming back, just see what your market is and then have Ed come back to us and we'll see if we can come to an agreement.
All right, I appreciate that.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Can you give me your word on that, or you're not going to give us a chance?
What do you mean? Like, just talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, I already told you where I want to be, so.
Okay. All right, well, let's do that. We'll go out and see what the market says. I think it's the right thing to do. I love you, man. I appreciate everything you did for the organization, you know, the 2 years I was here. And I'm not saying we're not going to get something done, but I think it's right if for some reason it doesn't work out, that you know that the organization thinks the world of you and everything you've done. But hopefully, you know, you go out there, you see the market, and you say, you know what, I want to be here, and you give us a shout back.
All right, I appreciate you.
All right, Saquon, I'll talk to you.
My first question is, why would Saquon Barkley allow that to be out there? Does that make him look good or anything?
I don't think it makes him look bad.
I don't think it makes him look bad, but what's the benefit? Is he a benefit to that?
Just that it's his side of the story, right? He told Joe Shane, you know where I want to be, and you're not giving me anything. So you're not giving me an offer. So you clearly don't want to offer me where I want to be.
Mm.
And so I'm going to go to the market and the Eagles offered him what he wanted to get.
Now, we don't know the next part. Like, did he go back to the Giants after that offer?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like part of this is on the agent. The agent is there to advise you, right? The agent is telling you, this is my gut. This is my feeling. And so they're not going to offer you anything. So we got to find your next location. That's what it feels like to me. Now, again, I have no idea. I'm sure we'll find out next week, next Tuesday. But right now, from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, it feels like the Giants said, I don't understand what the market is for you specifically. Come back to us if you really want to be here.
Would you?
And so he said that kind of like trying to pull on the heartstrings of Giant for life.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And Saquon clearly was ready to go out the door.
Well, Saquon sounded agitated. Like, yeah. I've already told you I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're telling me to give you my word, and it sounded like he was agitated in that answer he gave, which is, I already told you. He also sounded in the conversation like he had no interest in talking to Joe Shane. He sounded like, I really don't want to talk to you.
It's interesting because I only had one contract negotiation with the Giants, and that was Ernie Accorsi was the general manager. I don't think I had a conversation with Ernie during the whole time.
Mm.
And it was pretty drawn out because Strahan and Seahorn were both due for contracts. And so there was a lot going on. But I don't think I had a conversation with him. And so it's just different. It's so interesting how different it's become for the contract negotiation.
See, and tell me if I'm wrong on this. I don't know if it's different. I almost thought, you know, we talk about bedside manners with players, like you don't want to offend a player. We've talked about that hypothetically with Pete Alonso. There was this idea when the Mets were struggling, oh, they should trade him and then re-sign him at the end of the year. And I said, dude, he's going to be bothered by that. Mm-hmm. It's not as simple as it's a transaction.
Right.
Like, you have to do that in a very careful way. And it sounded like Shane was trying to be so careful in explaining to him why they weren't making him an offer.
He doesn't want to insult him.
Right. But his point to the agent was, I don't want to come in with an offer and have that insult Saquon Barkley.
Right.
Because I don't know what his value is.
Yeah. And it's so interesting when you look at all of these deals because the money is so fungible. It doesn't really mean anything. Like, you just have to be comfortable with what you're getting. So if Saquon Barkley has the most guaranteed money of any running back in the NFL right now. Mm. As crazy as that it may sound, because he's not making what Christian McCaffrey is. Christian McCaffrey's guaranteed number is $24 million. Saquon's is $26 million. But when you look at percentage of cap, Saquon's only like almost 5% of the cap.
So right.
Christian McCaffrey's almost 7.5% of the cap.
Right.
So it's like the whole dynamic of money and as it pertains to how it hits the salary cap is so convoluted. And the reason decisions like the Saquon decision get made is because Joe Shane has a responsibility to manage the cap,
right,
but also put the best team that he can on the field. And so those things aren't as clear as I think we want them to be. Right? It seems like it's just a decision and it's binary. It's like one thing, or it's one thing or the other thing. There's so many other complicating factors that go into the salary cap and deciding what it's worth paying a specific player.
No, and it's impossible to figure that out.
It is.
We know the pluses and the negatives of Saquon, but how do you determine, oh, if it's $11 million with a cap hit of $3.8 million, we're good.
Right.
But if it's this, we're not good. A lot of Giant fans came away thinking Joe Shane never wanted Saquon Barkley back.
Right.
The more I watched this episode and I watched the previous episode, I didn't necessarily come away with that. I came away with, he's got a little red line. Mm-hmm. He's got his, however he came up with that number, whatever. But he has his line on, we'd bring him back for this.
Yeah.
And only this.
Right. And if he comes back to us, which we'll find out if he did or not next week, if he comes back to us, we'll make a decision. Now, I don't think he came back to them. I'm just
guessing.
You think
that's the endgame of this whole thing?
I have no idea, but I don't think he came back to them.
Mm.
I think he had conversations with the Eagles, and what happened.
So this reminds me of DeGrom. And I'll tell you why. There are a lot of Met fans out there that are mad at DeGrom that he never came back to the Mets.
Right.
Now, there are details that need to be brought up, and I bring this up in relation to Saquon. Two things. Number one, the Mets did make an offer to Jake. The offer that came from Texas was so far and away different in terms of years that logic would tell you the Mets aren't matching.
Right.
But the other thing, and this is very important, and I don't know if this happened with the Eagles. Apparently, the Texas Rangers told DeGrom, you can't take this back to the Mets.
Hmm.
You have to sign it because we want you, but we don't want you shopping this. And now if you're Jake, you have to make the right business decision, which is kind of weirdly similar to Saquon. I know they're not giving me this.
Yeah,
I could give them the decency of a phone call, but they're not giving me this, and I'm not going to blow up the opportunity with Texas.
I don't remember what the offer was a year ago, but it was about this. It was similar.
To Saquon Barkley.
To Saquon's deal this year. His average is $12.5 million a year. I feel like last year, meaning before last season, that was the offer before the franchise tag. Maybe that was in the middle of the previous season, but I feel like it's similar. And the one thing you did get from Joe Shane is that, not that he was still upset about it, but there was some, like, I don't know, rubbed the wrong way that Saquon didn't take the deal.
I understand that. But right. would you agree if this happens, and I'm excited, this is why this show is fantastic, if the Eagles did to Saquon what Texas did to DeGrom and said, look,
I bet
this
that,
is a great offer.
I would bet that happens.
And I would, personally,
right.
I don't blame DeGrom.
Right.
I don't blame Saquon.
Right. If you pull it off, if you have to think about this, because by the way, don't forget, this deal happened immediately.
Right.
Immediately.
Right.
Like the minute it hit 4 o'clock, Saquon Barkley was a Philadelphia Eagle on the free agency day, which is why there was an investigation for tampering.
Sure.
And all because of the Penn State head coach. But I wouldn't doubt if that's exactly what happened.
And
you can't go back and ask the Giants to match this.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if you got to free agency and you wanted to be a Giant, very similar to Saquon Barkley, because let's take him at face value.
Yeah.
He wanted to remain here. And you got an offer, name the random team. Let's do a division rival. The Cowboys. You don't even like the Cowboys. And the Cowboys made you an offer that you know deep down the Giants are not matching this. But the Cowboys say to you, you take this back to the Giants, it's dead.
Right.
Are you even wasting your time taking it back to the Giants?
Probably.
That's why he's tiki,
right.
Baby.
I definitely would have. Because I didn't want to go anywhere. I didn't talk to anybody else.
Fair enough.
And it's a different era. Money was very different. I mean, Saquon's guaranteed money per season is what I made my entire career. So it's just the times have changed. Yeah. So that is what it is.
Well, I get you. I wouldn't blame him if that's what the Eagles did. Because that's what Texas did to DeGrom. And like people don't, and I'm not saying Giant fans will accept it. A lot of Met fans don't want to hear that. Or they don't know about it. Or they don't care about it. Because their attitude is, he never wanted to be here. That's the way we feel. And that's it. Meanwhile, Texas made a better offer. Yeah. And I think in the case of Saquon with Philadelphia, and if you go back to what you said and what I said and what everyone said about him going to Philly, it wasn't that he shouldn't have gone to Philly.
Yeah.
It was that
people think it's about the money and all these other things.
No!
It's just, you're an Eagle.
You made a decision to go to a rival.
Yes.
And because of that, you're dead to us. Like, that goes with any athlete.
Unlike Aaron Judge, who decided not to go to Tampa.
Right.
Because it was a rival.
Who said, I can't go there. They're one of our rivals.
So I have a lot of experience in this, and hearing that awkward conversation between Shane and Saquon Barkley. There was a movie, I think it was back in 2009. I'm sure Evan loved it. He's Just Not That Into You.
Oh, tremendous movie.
Yeah.
Joe is not into Saquon, and Saquon is not into Joe. Joe didn't want to bring him back, and Saquon didn't want to come back.
Well,
you could
also
just tell it was so
uncomfortable.
Don't forget
that he was pissed off because he got franchise tagged.
Right.
Like, for a running back to get franchise tagged, you are almost guaranteed to be gone. Almost guaranteed. Especially if you were a first rounder, because you've had 5 years and then a franchise tag. That's six seasons. Like, when you franchise tag a running back, you're basically saying, all right, you got one more year here.
So I'm going to, hold on, put a helmet on.
Yeah, I'm going to hide too when you ask him
hold
this.
Hold on a second. I'm putting on a WFAN helmet because I have to ask Tiki a question, and I'm afraid. Everything you just said.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I loved it. Then why didn't the Giants trade him at the trade deadline?
You're dead to me. You're going to be dead to me, Evan. You're going to be dead to me. Honestly, I think it's because they needed him to be their guy, their leader. But also, most teams think they can just replace the running back.
Yeah.
And it might not be like the next Saquon Barkley, but it'll be, you know, Devin Singletary and Tyrone Tracy and all these other guys that are still there. I mean, they got eight running backs right now.
They do.
I think what it is. So they think by committee they can replace one guy.
The real reason Saquon Barkley left the New York Giants is he couldn't stand being the second best running back who plays at MetLife Stadium. And Breece Hall says hi. Let's go to Eric in New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
What's going on, boys? How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, Dink, just wanted to give a buzz on this one because it's like you can't have your cake and eat it too with your Shane. I mean, you tagged him last year, to your point. I mean, Saquon, if I'm him, I'd be pissed also because I took on all the risks of getting injured behind that line.
Yeah, in year six. Yeah. I mean, that's the problem.
If you're Shane, you know what the market is. Take Josh Jacobs' contract, take McCaffrey's contract, take the top five running back contracts, and come up with a number and put something on the table. You don't get a free call option to have him come back to you. I mean, that was absurd. He could have hit him with a non-exclusive franchise tag or transition tag or something to have some sort of recourse. Say, listen, I'll drop the tag if you get an offer that we're not going to match.
Yeah.
The fake one was like, dude, screw you. He's taking he's going to give Shane like a free shot of the apple. You can't have a kick in either two, especially the way Shane treated him year one.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge with this, and let's take out the Josh Jacobs deal because that was consummated same time as Saquon Barkley. I would probably even take out Jonathan Taylor's, which was in the middle of the season. But if you look, and Chris McCaffrey's as well, but if you look at the top running backs, it's $19 million, it's $15 with Kamara, taking out Jonathan Taylor, taking out Josh Jacobs, taking out Saquon. The next highest, those three I took out were the new deals that were done. The next highest is $9 million for Ramondre Stevenson. $9 million. And then Joe Mixon's $8.5 million. DeAndre Swift is $8.5 million. Derrick Henry, who's could be a Hall of Famer if he has a couple more great years, is making $8 million a year. So I know what he's saying. Like, you take the average lies to you.
Yeah, it's right.
It just lies to you.
Big drop off.
It's a humongous drop off in the in the franchise tag, which is where they base everything off of. Like, if you get franchise tag and the conversation with the agent starts happening, the franchise number is where you start.
Yep.
Right. And the franchise for running backs is the average of the top 10 salary cap hits. So if you do that for the running backs, like, you got like an $8 million salary or right. $7 million salary
yep.
In that equation. It's not fair to the running back.
Was never going to happen.
Exactly right.
Toll-free number, 888-808-1019. We'll get back to your call. Saquon Barkley, Carlos Rodon not being able to pitch in New York. And also, did I break etiquette at Citi Field last night? I'll explain it to you coming up. Evan and Tiki here on The Fan Live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Evan, I mentioned the Mets, but they did win last night. Francisco Lindor with a huge night. Brilliance from Jose Quintana. They're going to try to take game two of that series tonight against the Nationals. There is some injury news. Reed Garrett, who stunk last night. After the game, I declared he's no longer in the circle of trust. Well, guess what? He's no longer on the roster. He's going on the injured list with inflammation in his elbow.
Tommy John.
Oh, don't go there.
Just wondering.
You're going there?
They start with 15. It's always like a placeholder.
Jeez.
For season-ending injury. Just being negative.
I hope that's not the case because Reed Garrett had pitched well for a while. Last night was obviously frustrating. The Mets won the game, but they were forced to use Edwin Diaz to get that last out. The bullpen struggled to merely get six outs. So Reed Garrett's going on the IL. Danny Young is back. Phil Maton is on the roster. He'll make his Met debut at some point, maybe today, as they take on the Washington Nationals. But I was at the game last night, and I did something that I think Lugie would be very proud of. And you would be very proud of.
All right.
And if Sean was here, but he's not, he'd be proud of too. I got food. Now, you guys usually give me crap that I don't get food at sporting events, that I bring my own food.
Yes, tuna sandwiches.
That's right. I did not last night. I got, for the first time at Citi Field, a gigantic pastrami sandwich, which they sell in the Piazza Club.
Okay.
So, all good so far, right? And this sandwich was something else. And I took my pill, so
like
I
delicious.
Was good to go. Oh, delicious.
All right.
It was like the pastrami was melting in my mouth. It was amazing. So it's a little bit of a struggle because I'm scoring the game as well. I'm sitting between two people. I don't have a lot of room. And so I did a pretty good job of managing eating the pastrami sandwich.
Pen in one hand, pastrami sandwich in the other.
Correct.
Book
I'm a
on
loser.
Your lap.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A lot
give
of
me
the I meat.
Can see
I want
that.
The
I
meat.
I can just see you just like. Now, Evan, did you dip it in the spicy brown mustard or did you just put the spicy brown mustard on the sandwich?
So the mustard was already on the sandwich. The only thing I did that was a little disgusting is every time my hand would get filled with mustard, can't have that on the book, I would wipe it on my shorts.
That's what?
Yeah. Wipe it on my shorts because I didn't want to get it on the book.
How about you just put a napkin?
I'm a loser.
How about you just put a napkin on your shorts?
Here's the problem. I didn't have the napkin.
Why
readily
you
available.
Have a napkin?
I kind of forgot. It just happens. I'm a baby.
You're a public figure, too. Come
it's
on.
All right. It's all right. Look, nobody cares if I got mustard
so how
on my
bad
shorts.
Was it at the end of the game?
Well, it was more marginally bad. The real problem I ran into wasn't even that. Like, that wasn't my issue. I think that's acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
My issue was after I ate half the sandwich, I needed to give it a break. I'll give him some of my meat. It was a lot of work eating that sandwich while scoring. So my friend looks at me and he's like, what are you going to do with that sandwich? And I said, I'm going to bring it home. And he's like, really? I said, yeah. Is that a problem? Like, am I breaking etiquette of stadiums
kinda
to
odd.
Leave with the food?
Kinda
like,
odd.
If we leave a restaurant and we haven't finished, don't we get it wrapped up and take it home?
That's a civilized establishment.
So I, for the record, and who knows, maybe someone took a picture. I have no idea. I left Citi Field, scorebook and bag in one hand, pastrami sandwich in the other.
I'm a loser.
Is there anything wrong with that?
Yeah, I mean, no, not really, but it's just probably very unique. I cannot think of another person that would bring food home from a stadium.
No one else would do it.
No one.
So you
I
guys,
mean, maybe if you have your kid with you, you'll bring a bag of popcorn so they can eat it in the car.
Cotton candy,
cotton
perhaps.
Cotton candy, something like that.
I'm a baby. Maybe. But are you guys suggesting I should have left it there? Like I should have just been like, up, I ate a half, that's
no.
it, I'm going home?
No.
So then what's the answer?
What I'm suggesting is you be a good friend and give your buddy who's starving, give the starving man some ham.
I'll give him some of my
beef.
Meat.
You walked out of Citi Field like a maniac. It's not like it was in a Ziploc bag either. You're holding a half-eaten sandwich
right.
with mustard stain all over your shorts and
by
a scorebook and a Melot jersey. I mean,
I didn't wear my Melot jersey last night. By the way, Loogie just said something pretty kind of brilliantly. As I was leaving the stadium with my friend, Dennis, my friend Dennis, says to me, you know what you should do next time, Ev? I said, what's that? He's like, you should pack Ziploc bags. Give me the meat.
I mean, if you're going to bring your food home with you, you might as well.
Well,
it's just the other way around. Instead of putting your tuna sandwich in a Ziploc bag and bringing it, you bring the Ziploc bag and then bring the pastrami sandwich.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it the more I think about it, because the food was great.
Huh?
It was a lot of it. Like, credit to Citi Field. They give you your money's worth. I couldn't finish it. I'm scoring the game. It's very hot outside. It's uncomfortable. But I want to eat it later, which, by the way, I did.
You're like these 80-year-olds that you see at the diner or at a casino that take, like, you know, 80 sweet and lows and put them in their pockets. You have that time at the game to finish the sandwich. If you don't finish it there, that's it.
When did you get it? First, second innings?
I would say, well, first of all, Dennis got it for me. And I want to thank him again, Dennis.
No, because
great
you
gesture.
Could get up just in case, you know, you missed some scoring.
No, it wasn't that. It was a good gesture. I take
him. I'm a loser.
He offers me food. It's just that's what friends do.
Okay.
Loogie doesn't know anything like that because he would expect me to get it.
You didn't want to.
Loogie!
What was that?
You didn't want to miss scoring the game.
Well, of course I didn't want to miss scoring
there
the
you
game.
Go. That's what it is.
I'm a loser. It's still a nice gesture.
Did you give Dennis money? Or did Dennis come out of his own pocket?
He bought me the sandwich.
Oh, okay.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I take him to games. Is that not a fair trade-off?
I'm just wondering.
Oh, excuse me. I think I did the right. I'll put a poll up. What should I have done with my pastrami sandwich at Citi Field that I couldn't finish? Leave it for the birds, give it to somebody, or take it home with me. Those are the only three options, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
You guys are horrible.
You made the worst one. It's just a weird thing to do. Like Tiki said, if you're at a restaurant, there are societal rules that say, yeah, you get a little doggy bag. Let me ask you this, Evan. No, hold on. If you go to a wedding, a nice wedding.
No, I would never do that.
What are you putting in your pockets because you didn't finish your salmon? I mean,
you know what the difference is? Can I give you my answer on that?
Okay.
When something,
that's a good comparison.
When something is at a party, it's like.
Isn't a game a party?
No.
I mean, for everyone but Evan.
$18 for a sandwich is not a party for Dennis or me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I what should I have done? You think I shouldn't have done anything?
You should have told Dennis, these sandwiches are massive in the Piazza Club. What do you want? What do I want? Let's come to a consensus and get one and cut it in half.
Oh, that's
what you should have done.
The funny
Instead
part
of
is,
making him count out of his pocket for probably 50 bucks.
It wasn't 50 bucks.
Bag of chips and a beer or whatever.
I'm a loser.
Actually, a soft seltzer, I'm sure you had.
No, I had a bottle of water that I brought from my office.
Oh, God.
There was one person as I was leaving who asked to take a picture with me, and it was very nice, and I did.
Yeah.
So there is a picture somewhere
of me
holding the sandwich.
With mustard stains on your shorts.
Did you tell him, make sure the frame keeps my shorts out?
No, I don't even care.
I'm a loser.
I was like, yeah, if it's there, it's there. Let's get back to your calls. 888-808-1019. Jason is in Fairlawn, New Jersey. How you doing today, Jason?
Fellas, how are you?
We're good.
What's up?
So, really quick, before I get to my Barkley point, Evan, you're a total loser for that story. Just saying.
What should I have done? Like, what's the right answer then?
You should have just gave it to your friend, being a good dude.
All right, fair enough. That's a fair option.
I'm a loser.
I'm going to put a poll out and see what people say. Anyhow, what the hell do you want to talk about? Besides making fun of me.
So the whole thing with Barkley, off of that, I watched the episode last night, and everyone's saying that Barkley was mistreated. Honestly, I wasn't listening earlier, but you know, the Giants did offer him several contracts,
mm-hmm.
and he turned them down.
Yeah.
I saw Shane made a big thing about the whole Ring of Honor. And to me, you know, Saquon couldn't shine your shoes, T, because of running back to the Giants. So
well, that's neither here
I'm
nor
not
there.
Sure where. Yeah, but he had the opportunity to sign. He chose not to. And the Giants have too many holes compared to, you know, other teams out there.
I mean, Jason, that last thing you said is really one of the more critical ones, because the Giants, because they made the postseason in Dave's and Shane's first year, everybody feels like, oh, they should be, you even said this, like if they don't go a step further, then their subsequent season is a failure type of thing. But that was it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors, right? A little bit of luck, a little bit of plan above themselves that first season. But the roster was not complete. And it wasn't complete last year, especially after all the injuries started to decimate them. And so, like, the priority is to get a consistent winner. It's not to pay your favorite player.
Just remember, though.
That's the hard thing about being a GM. It's like, I know this guy's a fan favorite. I know that he's a leader in our locker room. But there's a bigger picture to look at.
Yeah, I just remember this, though. When I brought this up to you a year ago, early on in our show, by the way, our year anniversary is in like 2 weeks, and I think we're going to be back at Yankee Stadium. That's like a tradition. We celebrate our first show, our second show. It's Yankee Stadium. But what I said to you that day, and I stand by it, was, hey, when you get to the playoffs and you make the second round, the divisional round, as a fan, and that's the key phrase, as a fan, not as Joe Shane, because it is a difficult job he had.
Yes.
I mean, I would almost say an impossible job.
Yeah.
As a fan,
there's
it's
a lot of bad contracts. And we've forgotten about them because they're mostly gone, but there was a lot of bad contracts.
A lot of bad contracts, and you're right. We even knew it at the time. They sort of accomplished that by mirrors.
Yes.
But what I was saying, and I stand by it, is as a fan, it's very difficult to go into the following season and say anything short of what we just witnessed would be a good season. And you, to your credit, said, can't look at it that way. Can't look at it that way. It's different. They probably weren't that good last year. And I'm like, yeah, I agree with you. I didn't think the Giants were going to be good last year.
You said, but you said exactly the number, six wins.
I think I nailed it. I think I said 7 wins. I may have actually been off.
No, I think I said 7. I think you said 6.
All right, fine. I'll take the W.
Yeah, you got it. I remember after the season, you were gloating about it.
Oh, yeah. That's true. But the point was, and it illustrates what you're saying, the Giants' success in year one was almost like this difficult thing to kind of juxtapose, if you will.
Yeah.
How do you build off that? But you can't because you weren't that good to get there in the first place.
You know that your roster is inferior. It's not right. Not what's going to hopefully ultimately win you a championship. There's a lot of work to be done.
What I am so curious about, and I don't know if you're ready to say it yet on July 10th. I don't know if Lugie is a Giant fan is ready to say it, or Sean is when he decides to come back to work wants to say it. But maybe in 2 weeks you'll be ready because it'll be training camp. Mm-hmm. We'll start to see guys in pads. It'll be like, oh, football's coming back. What is this team? Like, that's going to be the real question before the season even starts. What is this team? What are your expectations even going to be?
I think they're going to be explosive. Like, we always talk about, what's the identity of a team?
Mm-hmm.
Last year was the big plays came from Saquon. That was it. I mean, almost literally, that was it. Like, except for, you know, Jalen Hyatt had a couple of them. But literally, just a couple. Right? So, when I think about what the identity of this coming team is going to be, it's going to be a big play-making team. Right? And you have to do that. It's too hard to score in the NFL. I've gone over this multiple times. It's too hard to score on the NFL going station to station. Let's get a first down after first down after first down after first down. You got to make big plays.
Yeah. Well.
And so they've built this team to do that. And they had some hard decisions, right? Letting Bryce Love go a couple years ago. That was one. Julian Love. Bryce Love is a safety from a running back from Stanford. But Julian Love go a season ago. Letting Xavier McKinney go this season. Letting Saquon leaving free agency. There were tough decisions you had to make because the roster just wasn't good enough.
Jim is calling from Levittown, New York. What's up, Jim?
Nice to talk to you guys again. Evan, I want to back you up. If you paid for that sandwich, and if you think it will make a nice snack later for when you go home, you absolutely take it home. But I'm the kind of guy who, when he leaves the movie theater, fills the soda up again before he gets in the car.
Oh, come on, really?
Hey, the credits are still rolling. I paid for that, and they said I get free real
food. That's true. I mean, that's kind of a fact.
You know, sometimes I'm happy when a caller calls up to defend me. And then they keep talking, and they say something, and it's like, oh, God, he was defending
that
me, but then he
almost feels like stealing. I know, it is not, because he's right.
It's not.
Technically, he's right, but it does feel like, I don't know, it's like getting away with, it's not illegal, but it feels like you're getting away with something.
And just for the record, I don't do that. So even though he's agreeing.
All right, so when you ate your sandwich at home, was it as enjoyable as the first time you bit into it?
No, but I don't think that's a fair answer, because I think sometimes when you are hungry and you are in a ballpark, it just tastes better.
Of course.
And it's just the way the world
works. And it's fresh. It's newly made.
Yeah, it's fresh. So it's newly made.
Right. Stick this thing in my mouth.
And it's you're hungry and all that. But I just got a text from Rascona, Scones, who works here. And his answer was, no, you finish it like a bleeping man. And I'm like, Scones, I haven't written him back. I'll say it verbally on the air, and I'll say it to everybody else because I'm sure that's a thought. But I'm not hungry anymore. And it's very difficult to not allow the mustard to get on my scorebook. So why do I have to finish it like a, quote, bleeping man? Why can't I just eat it in an hour and a half when I'm in my air-conditioned home and I don't have to worry about mustard stains getting on the name Jeff McNeil? Like, what's the problem with that?
Because if you eat it late, it's bad for your health to go to bed.
Well, that is true.
So, have you seen Evan lately?
That is a very good truth.
So just scoff it all down right when you have the opportunity. And then you got 4 hours to let it digest before you lay your head on your pillow and snuggle up to your wife.
Fat. I put a poll out there based on this discussion. It was worded exactly like this. What should have I done with the pastrami sandwich I couldn't finish at Citi Field last night? Three choices. Take it home, which I did. Throw it out or give it to somebody. What if I told you only 5 minutes in, stop the count, baby, because 49% say take it home like Evan did.
No.
The people have spoken.
He shove delicious meats down your throat.
He left the most important one.
Of course he did.
Just eat it there.
No, you can't. That's not an option.
No. You give it to someone like you're handing it to a homeless guy. And you went there with your buddy who paid for it. You could have given it to him. It's not someone. It's your best friend.
Did he want it?
I don't think he wanted it. He ate it. He had his own food.
He was eyeing that thing like it was Pam Anderson. Come on. Give him the sandwich.
You want to ask him?
Yes. Ask
Dennis. If he says, nah, I was good. I was already filled. You'll apologize. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're going to get Dennis on the phone.
No, he's a private person.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, he's going to go through your filter. Well, I want to see it with my own eyes now.
I think he's working, but I give you his number if you want to call him.
We had a guy who works for the post office call us.
That's true. But that guy didn't care about
his job. Had Evan's friend, Chad, call in once, the guy that Evan left there to get his own ride home when when Luis Castillo dropped the pop-up.
Yes. That's right.
So your friends are available.
That friend is available. I'm not sure if this friend is available. Let's go to Nick in Comac, New York. What's up, Nick?
What up, Nick?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're good, man.
Good. What's up?
Nothing much. I want to talk about Tiki. You keep saying Saquon's name. You promised you'd never call him Saquon again.
Oh, that's right. What's his middle name? I forgot.
Calling him Saquon?
I forgot. What's his middle name that I'm supposed to call him? Nick.
I'm not going to lie. I forgot that.
I forgot. I'm going to have to look it up.
I got
to
get that answer now, too.
I forgot.
I think I do remember that.
Yes.
That you made a promise that because he was quote-unquote dead to us, you would not refer to him by his name anymore.
I'll just call him Mr. Barkley.
Mr. Barkley?
Yes.
I don't like that as much. I got to find it. I got it.
Good respect. He's a stud running back.
I got the answer. Saquon Rasul Barkley.
Cuevas? That can't be right. He's got two middle names?
Yeah.
According to Wikipedia,
Wikipedia's crap. Look at my Wikipedia, though.
Okay. Why would I look at yours? I'm trying to get Saquon's middle name.
I think it has my real name incorrect.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So can you find out what Saquon... I remember you calling him Rasul.
I do remember Rasul, but the second one now, I don't remember.
Cuevas?
Cuevas. Yeah. That doesn't... I mean, that's... really?
I was curious how Saquon was going to respond to the fact that the Giants started unveiling the top 100 players in their franchise's history.
Wikipedia got my name correct. Oh, good.
Well, there you go.
Fantastic.
The Giants started unveiling like their top 100 players of all time.
Yes.
Now, luckily for Tiki, he's got a long wait because they're starting at the end. So you're gonna be waiting a while.
They started with my boy Richie Soyberg.
They started with Richie Soyberg, and they actually got to Saquon Barkley already. Like he's already up there at like 96 or something like that. And Saquon went on Twitter to say thank you. Like I thought for a second either he wouldn't acknowledge it, or he would be like, dude, that's disrespect. Like, what kind of schmoes you putting ahead of me? By the way, I saw the list of people that voted on the committee of these top 100 Giants. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the committee?
Yeah.
You know who's in the committee?
Yeah.
A lot of interesting names. One guy jumps out at me, and I'm so happy he's on the committee, and that is Jay Horowitz.
Oh, really?
The Mets PR legend who's also a diehard Giant fan.
Yes, of course.
And I like that.
Well, it's media. It was media members. It was... some former executives. I think Ernie Accorsi was on the committee.
Ernie Accorsi is on the list, you're right. Yep. John Birdie, who plays for the Yankees, is on this?
No, stop.
John Birdie? I'm reading his name. John Birdie of the Yankees?
There's got to be a different John Birdie.
You're saying it's a different John Birdie?
There's got to be.
It's not Yankees John Birdie? We'll get back to your calls in a second. 888-808-1019. Plus, should there have been awkwardness last night in the SNY booth? We'll explain why coming up.